Good morning.
My name is Sharon Balzer. This is my husband, Daryl, and we'll be reading from God's Word this morning. We'll be doing 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in its entirety, and this is the ESV translation. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Thank you for reading God's word with us this morning. This morning we are continuing our series, Discovering the Holy Spirit, and this week and next week we're gonna spend a little bit of time in this passage, this chapter, and we're looking at something as we move into these next couple of weeks. We're looking at something that God has given to every believer, and that is the spiritual gifts. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you know that this topic can stir up all kinds of reactions. For some, spiritual gifts feel kind of mysterious, and for others, they're intimidating. And some wonder if they have ever had one? Do they know if they have one? And others assume that gifts are only for other Christians or certain Christians, maybe certain personalities. And in our culture, there's probably this quiet fear that talking about gifts might lead to comparison, competition, or misuse. Not unlike what was happening in Corinth at the time Paul was writing this letter to them. And Paul begins this whole chapter with a pastoral heartbeat in verse 1. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. He wanted the church of Corinth and us to be informed about these spiritual gifts. They're important. Because if you belong to Jesus, the Spirit of God has placed something within you to build up the body, to build up the church body, to strengthen the mission of Jesus, to make Jesus famous and visible among us and amongst the world. And that's really what this morning is about. It's not about discovering whether you are gifted, but discovering how God has already gifted this church family for the very work that he has called this church body to. So today we're going to let Paul answer three simple yet essential questions. To understand these gifts, we're going to look at what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? How do the gifts work in the body of Christ? And then how do we discover and use our gifts faithfully? So we're going to begin at number one. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Verse 7 says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you look at the word manifestation here, it means a visible expression of the Spirit's presence. So when a believer serves, when a believer helps or speaks, leads, gives, encourages, discerns, or heals, the Spirit is showing himself, he's manifesting himself in the church. And this word can be understood, this word, the word manifestation can be understood actively or passively. Actively, the gifts become instruments through which the Spirit brings the knowledge of salvation to God's people. And passively, we see this in Acts 10, 45 to 46, and 46. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. So the Jewish believers, they knew that the Spirit had come upon the Gentiles as it had come upon them. Because they had heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God. And the gifts manifested the Spirit's presence. One commentator puts it really, really well. He said, spiritual gifts are signposts of new creation. Evidence that Jesus is alive and the Spirit is active among us. I'm going to read that again. Spiritual gifts are signposts of new creation. Who are we? Followers of Jesus, we are a new creation. And that is evidence, the spiritual gifts are evidence that Jesus is alive and his Spirit is active in us and among us. And why does the Spirit manifest himself in this way? 7b, the last part of that verse tells us, for the common good. Paul is reminding his audience, the Corinthian church, that spiritual gifts are not man's idea. nor are they for man's own personal use or for their purpose. But the spiritual gifts are good for the entire spiritual body, the church community. Verse 11 tells us that all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, and who apportions or distributes to each one individually as he wills. So you and I, we don't choose our gifts. We didn't earn our gifts. But the Spirit gave each one of us at least one gift for his purpose. They were given to build up and strengthen the mission and reveal Jesus, to make the church mature, to unite the church, and to so that the church can be Christ-like in character. But how do these gifts work in the church body? Paul highlights something deeply significant in this chapter, something he repeats with intention, something he repeats on purpose. In verses 4, 5, and 6, he repeats this. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, and there are varieties of service or ministries, and the same Lord. Verse 6, there are varieties of activities or effects, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And he repeats this again in verse 8 and 9. The same Spirit is repeated. And so why this repetition? Why is Paul continuing to repeat this? Because Paul is pastoring a very competitive church, a church that's extremely divided. Some of the people were elevating certain gifts. They were just looking at themselves and competing in a sense. And one of those gifts that they were elevating was the gift of tongues. And while they were doing this, while they were elevating other gifts, they were diminishing other gifts. And Paul's repeated refrain when he says, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, is meant to say that all gifts, all of the gifts that are given, are from the same divine source. So stop comparing. Stop competing. That's what he's telling the church at Corinth. One of the things to note about the church at Corinth is that Corinth was a church that wasn't some place you moved to live. It was a place where you moved to be educated, to get somewhere, to be elevated. There was a lot of competition. One commentator thought of it very similar to that the Church of Corinth was very similar to New York. You moved to New York not to live, to set up family, to set up shop there, but you moved there to become somebody, to make it in the world, to be educated, and to move your life pattern forward. And so that's why Paul is writing to this church. But he's saying, stop comparing. You're new. You're a new creation. And in all of this, he's reflecting, Paul is talking about the diversity of the gifts. And the diversity of the gifts reflects the unity of God himself in the Trinity. It reminds us also that God has sovereignly assigned gifts to each one of us. And there's many gifts, but there is only one giver. Paul begins that by showing us that though there is one Spirit, he gives a great variety of gifts. There's different kinds of service, different kinds of ministries, different kinds of result. Yet they're all from the same God with one united purpose. I mean, in reality, some of the gifts feel very ordinary. Some are very practical. Some are leadership focused and equipping. Some are supernatural manifestations of God's power. But Paul places them all in the same family because they come from the same spirit for the very same purpose. And so this destroys both the fears of certain gifts and the idolizing of others. Because in reality, we do that. There's some gifts that we are easy to talk about, but we get a little nervous when we talk about the gifts of tongues. What do we do with the gift of healing and the gift of miracles? Tune in next week and we'll talk about the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. So sometimes we're afraid of some, but sometimes we also idolize. There's some that we just lift up. And that's what was happening in the church at Corinth. They were lifting up and idolizing the gift of tongues. Now it's interesting to note that the Spirit does not give safe gifts to some people and spectacular gifts to others. The gifts He gives are what He wants to give certain people. It's His desire. It's for His purpose. And why? What is the purpose? For the common good of the church body. And Paul then moves from diversity of gifts to the design of the body. Many gifts, one body. Because the Spirit gave many different gifts, the church is meant to function like a living organism. Each part intentionally different. Each part intentionally needed. The eye can't do what the hand does. The hand can't do what the ear does. Some gifts are public. Some gifts are quiet. Some gifts are seen. Some are hidden. But none are unnecessary. None of the gifts are inferior. And if God placed you here in this church, then the gift that He gave you is essential to this church. The gift He gave you is absolutely essential to this church. And Paul shows us that the gifts only work as God intended when we operate in interdependence, in unity. Not in sameness, but in unity, in diversity. Believers empowered differently, working together under one Lord. Isn't that powerful? He created us intentionally. He gifted us very intentionally so that we would work together as one body for the common good, for His purpose, for His mission. One body means that we have a shared life. And this is why Paul writes in verse 26, if one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Which means that your gift is not meant to replace someone else's gift. Your gift is meant to complete someone else's gift, to be able to work, to function as a church body. This is the heartbeat of spiritual community when we use our gifts to serve one another, together with one another. So that brings us to the big question. Lots of people have this question. How do we discover our gifts? How do I know what my gift is? How do you know where God is calling you to step in? I heard a story about a church that was putting on a winter carnival. And they were looking for volunteers. And there was this young guy, and he was a fairly new Christian. He was fairly new to the church. What he knew is he wanted to serve, but he had no idea where he should serve. And so he asked the volunteers, I don't know if I have any gifts. I don't know where you need me, but I want to serve. I'm willing to serve and help you out in this carnival. And so the leaders thought, you know, there's a young guy. I think the toboggan hill is going to be for this guy. Well, it didn't take very long, and there was toboggans flying everywhere. There was mittens going lost. There was kids crashing into other kids, and it was becoming a bit of a disaster. And so as the organizer looked on, she realized that he was in trouble, and it looked kind of like he was regretting every decision that led him to that very moment. But quietly, the organizer, she decided to move him over to the hot chocolate. You know, that's a pretty safe place to serve people hot chocolates around the fire. Well, it didn't take very long, and he began to interact with the people that were there. He was walking around this fire. He was handing out hot chocolate. He was having conversations. And people began to connect with this guy. And after the carnival was done, he went and talked to some of the committee of this that were doing this, and he said, "You know, I had no idea where I fit in, but it seemed to work really well at the fire pit when I was serving coffee." And they told him, they said, "You know what? That's probably a place where you can connect and fit in, because your gift is building relationships. Your gift is like hosting, making people feel comfortable." And so he was plugged in. Friends, that's the truth for all of us. The best way to figure out what your gift is to see a need and step in. I don't know if I'm good at that. But if you don't know, the best is just to step in, and you usually discover where the Spirit has gifted you by stepping in, not by stepping back. Sometimes you try something and you realize, nope, that is not my lane. And sometimes you step somewhere and think, oh, this is where God is using me. What a joy, what a blessing. One of the things that is, if you look through Scripture never actually tells you to start serving before you discover your gift. It just tells us to serve. And the Spirit reveals the gift as you step out in obedience. We discover our gifts by stepping into service. Serve where there's need. But also serve where there's joy. Serve where others affirm God's work in you. Tim Keller once said, "Spiritual gifts are clarified through community, not introspection. In other words, you don't find your gifts in a test. Yeah, they might be helpful. I really don't like relying on those tests. It might be helpful, but you really find it when you step out in the church body, in the community of the church. We grow our gifts by practicing them. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "Fan into flame the gift of God." You know, gifts are somewhat like muscles. They strengthen with use and they shrink with neglect. You grow a teaching gift by teaching. You grow a mercy gift by showing mercy. You grow a leadership gift by leading. You grow a faith gift by stepping out in faith. Growth, discovering your gift, and growth of that gift comes through humility, obedience, and practice. We offer our gifts to build up the body. Paul says in 1 Peter 4:10, "As each one of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's a powerful phrase in there. As each one of us has received a gift for the very purpose to serve each other. And we ought to be the good stewards of those gifts. So how are we doing with the gifts that God has stewarded to us? Because these are gifts of God's varied grace. Your gift was given to you, but never was it meant for you. It wasn't meant to give you a platform or give you an identity. It exists to strengthen the church body, to advance the mission of Jesus Christ, to make him famous. And when one brother or sister holds back their gift, something essential is missing in the church. Isn't that an incredible reality? That when one brother or sister holds back their gift, something essential is missing in the church body. But when each gift is offered, encouraging encouragers, encouraging servants, serving teachers, teaching givers, giving intercessors, praying, the church becomes whole. The church becomes vibrant, spirit-filled. A spirit-filled church isn't shaped by spectators, but by participants. Every follower of Jesus bringing their God-given contribution so that Christ is clearly seen among us. And at the heart of it all, at the heart of it all is love. That's why Paul refuses to let the spiritual gifts to turn into some kind of a spectacle or some kind of a circus. Instead, he sandwiches the gifts of chapter 12 and chapter 14 with chapter 13. What's the chapter 13 about? Love, absolutely. Isn't that interesting? It's a reminder, and he does that very intentionally because it's a reminder that without love, even the most impressive gifts can become nothing more than noise. Love protects, love honors, and love celebrates others. See, that's the point of how do we work in unity? Because we're all different. But yet we have one and the same purpose with the gift that God has given us to work together. And we cannot do that. We cannot work together as a body unless we have love. Love refuses to envy. It rejects boasting. It rejects doing things on our own. Love builds up. And it keeps every gift rooted in reflecting Jesus. Because the truth is simple. Gifts without love, they fracture, cause disunity in the church. But gifts expressed in love strengthen and build up the church into what God intends it to be. Friends, here's what we've seen from God's word. You are gifted. Period. Full stop. You are gifted. You are needed. And you are empowered by the person, the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. And you have been placed here by God for his purpose. You are part of something much bigger than yourself. And you know what is so incredible? It is so incredibly amazing that many of you are already using your gifts faithfully, quietly, week after week, serving, encouraging, teaching, giving, praying, and showing mercy. And this church is stronger because of you. And man, I rejoice in that. Now others are still unsure, still waiting, or maybe feeling hesitant about stepping in. And you know what? There's room for that too. The Spirit meets us. The Spirit meets you where you are. But the real question before us all is not, do I have a gift? Or do I matter? Is there a place for me? Because God has already answered those questions. The questions that we must ask is this: am I willing to offer myself to be used by the Spirit for the good of the body and the glory of Jesus? So where do we go from here? You can start by making yourself available. Pay attention to the burdens that you wrestle with. Pay attention to your joys, because the Spirit often leads through the desires or what stirs our hearts. Isn't that incredible? Ask yourself, what needs do I notice? Where do I naturally lean in? What brings life to others through you? Because those are often real clues to your gifting. And involve the community. Ask others where they see God's gifting in you. Take one small step of obedience and stay connected to the church body. And through it all, keep love at the center. Love covers a multitude of challenges. And as you step in, the Spirit will meet you. The Spirit will empower you for the good of the church and the glory of Jesus. And he may very well not reveal any of that to you until you take your first step, until you lean into it and walk in obedience. Isn't that powerful how together, using our gifts, we can glorify God and become a stronger, more vibrant church for God's mission? So next week, we're just taking a brief overview, but next week we want to take a little bit of a look at what the Bible has to say of miracles and signs and wonders. So we want to look at what Scripture has to say about that. So like I mentioned earlier, we do have a prayer team that will be praying with anyone if you have a prayer need this morning. But before we do that, let's just close this service in a word of prayer. Well, Father God, it's incredible to think that you desire to use us, that you want to gift us to serve you, to be involved in kingdom work. And so thank you that it's by your power that we step into the gifts that you have given to us. It's by your strength, by your supernatural strength, that we become better at those gifts to serve you and honor you and glorify you. So thank you for that. Thank you for this church body who serves faithfully using their gifts week in and week out. God, thank you so much May they be blessed as they are a blessing to this church family. And for those who are searching and not yet sure of their gifts, God, would you reveal that to them through conversations with the church body, with the church family, as people look in, as we look into others and share what we are seeing. So, Father, may you be honored and glorified, and may we use your gifts to serve you faithfully. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as we go from here. And all God's people said, Amen.